All right. Well, good morning, everybody out there in YouTube land. Hope you can hear me okay. I'm on my phone because for some reason I can't get my computer to work over here. So, anyway, I know it's early in the morning, so some of you are probably still sleeping in some parts of the world, and some parts you're probably of America, you're probably out sleeping, and some of you are maybe up and awake and running around and doing all kinds of crazy things. But anyway, I wanted to bring something to you here quickly. And just talk about this real quick, and then it's the best angle I could get on this stupid phone here because I don't have a handle for it, so I don't have something to hold it with. And if I think about it too much, I'll just get frustrated. So I'm just going to not think about it, and I'm going to move on with what I'm doing here. So anyway, I wanted to talk to you real quick about the Pope here. But before I do that, let me just say, I don't know if I'll get to a broadcast on Monday. We're still in hunting season here for about another week. So I'll probably be another week, hunting. I'm going to go out today with my son for a while and then see what we can do here. There's about, I think, about a week left. And then after that, we'll be back to a normal schedule and all that good stuff. But, and we'll get back to the broadcast and everything else that we're wanting to do out there. But anyway, I caught this and I thought I'd come on and say hi. I did say that. Carl Winters remembers what I said. That's good. So that is the second season. So we'll see what happens. And what if I get one today, I'll be busy. Hopefully I get a couple more. I'd like to get two more here. I went out earlier in the week and didn't see a whole lot, but we'll see what happens out here. I went to a different place and put up a blind yesterday, so we'll see what happens out there. But so anyway, so you know that I'm kind of busy right now, but that'll change, and then I'll be back busy with ministry stuff and all that good stuff. We'll be talking this week. This Sunday, I'll be preaching again expository sermons in the book of Joshua. And we'll be talking about be strong and of good courage and some of the times that we live in and transitional times and a few of those things. And then I'm going to be preaching on Baptist history again, but third century martyrs. This week will be third century martyrs. Next week will be third century trials of the martyrs and their actual trials that they had in front of the judges and the emperors and the governors and all that. That's very interesting. I'm telling you, their dialogue between those people is unbelievable. So anyway, we'll talk about some of that, and it'll be a blessing to you, hopefully, and you'll get to hear what happened in the third century. I did forget my Spurgeon bobblehead. I keep forgetting to bring it. But when I was down at the Spurgeon Library, I got a Spurgeon bobblehead, and I keep forgetting to bring it. But I'm going to bring it, and it'll be part of my broadcast, and you'll be able to see the Spurgeon bobblehead all the time and laugh at it when I bobble its head back and forth. Anyway, but got to do it. It'll be funny, and you'll enjoy it, I'm sure. Jacob, you'll see the bobblehead tomorrow. You'll get the first look before OPBC Online gets it. You'll get it at Old Paths Baptist Church, the live bobblehead. I did get a can of coffee that Peter sent me. Thanks to Brother Peter for sending me a can of coffee. Boy, the can sure looks cool. But anyway, I'll show you guys that too on maybe next week sometime. But it was it was kind of funny because they sent me this little. It came in when I was gone, and then when I came back this earlier this week, when I got back from my trip, they had it in there, and it was like, oh, okay, great. And then I went there and I found it, and it was in this big envelope, and I was like, what in the world is this thing? And opened it up, and it was Turkish coffee. So we will definitely drink a lot of coffee, especially when you're hunting, I need to drink a lot of coffee. So when I get home and all that good stuff. Good morning, Carrie. And good morning, Carl. So anyway, you're all filing in here and getting online. There's only 17 people. I didn't figure there'd be hardly anybody. I never figure there's going to be anybody when I do these impromptu things and all that good stuff. But anyway, it's good to have you on here who are on here, and some of you will catch it later on the replay, and I'll hear about it, I'm sure, as time goes by. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Pope Francis. It's interesting because anytime there's a pope, you kind of see the you kind of see the the bent that they have, so to speak. I think anyway, you see kind of how they rule or what they look for and everything else like that. Well, this pope was a, is a socialist, communist, dictating little devil is what he is. And he absolutely hates liberty. He hates freedom. He hates personal freedom. He's a dominionist. He believes in strength through the sword. He's just a lying devil, little weasel, disgusting little pervert, pedophile that just got paid $3.6 billion to do the wicked stuff that he did. And that was by Donald Trump. He's a Jesuit pope. And but you can see like the bent that they have. You can see what they're into. And here's what Pope Francis said about Americans today or a couple days ago. He said Pope Francis in a New York Times op-ed on Thanksgiving Day criticized groups that protested coronavirus lockdown restrictions as Americans gathered to celebrate the holiday. He said, "Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be protesting against these lockdowns." Well, I'll tell you why. These are the same, the popes are the same group of people that stole land, money, robbed real Christians, burned them alive, and took their property. And that's how they became trillionaires. That's how they have a trillionaire dynasty. And that's how they got what they wanted. They were the sorcerers, the witches. That's who they are. Okay? These are the same popes that outlawed the crossbow during the Crusades and the Dark Ages and different times like that. And the reason they outlawed the crossbow was because it was able to pierce their armor. The Crusaders' armor, the Pope's men's, the Pope's murder men, it was able to break through their armor and kill them. So they outlawed the crossbow. So people couldn't defend themselves. Gun control, right? So he praised those governments making great efforts to protect people from the virus and criticized exceptions. He then criticized groups that protested the restrictions and appeared to dismiss the idea of personal freedom. See, here's the thing. They hate personal freedom. They absolutely hate, the papacy hates any personal freedom. Why? Well, because they've always been socialist, communist, dictating, dominionist. Yet some groups, well, he goes on to say, the exceptions have been some governments that shrugged off the painful evidence of mounting deaths with inevitable grievous consequences. Most governments acted responsibly, imposing strict measures to contain the outbreak. Yet some groups protested, refusing to keep their distance, marching against travel restrictions, as if measures that governments must impose for the good of their people constitute some kind of political assault on autonomy and personal freedom. Looking to the common good is much more than the sum of what is good for individuals. Well, let me help you out, you old perverted fat idiot. Let me help you out, you stinking, rotten, wicked, pedophile devil. The good of the people, the good of the group of people that you're talking about is nothing more than, What you're saying is mob rule and socialism is better than personal liberty. But see, when people like that are in control, when people like that are in control of everything, they kill people. They take the sword and they kill. It's all too easy for some to take an idea, in this case, for example, personal freedom, and turn it into ideology, creating a prism through which they judge everything. He said it means having a regard for all citizens and seeking to respond effectively to the needs of the less fortunate. You mean like you did when you hid pedophiles all over your kingdom? Pope Francis did not address in his op-ed that many groups in America protested severe restrictions in order to save their businesses and their families' livelihoods. That was despite in the beginning of the op-ed his talking about hardships such as going hungry because there's no work. He compared the experience of coronavirus to his experience of getting sick at the age of 21. He talked about how it gave him an appreciation for medical workers. Straightway, they took a liter and a half of water out of my lungs, and I remained. He said here, I remember the date, August 13th, 1957. I got taken to a hospital by a prefect who realized mine was not the kind of flu you treat with aspirin, he wrote. Straightway, they took a liter and a half of water out of my lungs, and I remained there fighting for my life. The following November, they operated to take out the upper right lobe of one of the lungs. I have some sense of how people with COVID-19 feel as they struggle to breathe on a ventilator. He credited two nurses for saving his life and praised healthcare workers in the pandemic. They are the antibodies to the virus of indifference. They remind us that our lives are a gift, and we grow by giving ourselves, not preserving ourselves, but losing ourselves in service, he said. See, the reason why the popes are so absolutely dangerous and the papacy is because they mix truth with error. This guy has such a fat, overbloated ego that it's just... That's exactly what they are. It's sophistry. They speak with sophistry all the time. They mix truth with error. And I know, I probably shouldn't have said some of the things I said about him, but, well, actually, it is true. But the point is, these people, even his own bishops are trying to fight in New York for the right to be able to assemble while their spiritual leader is telling them not to fight. Where he's telling them that the lockdowns are right and that government has a right to lock everybody down in the interests of people, in the interests of saving people's lives. Right? And while you had people, governments out there trying to smack down and limit the amount of people you have in your home because they think they're gonna save your life. And look, they're right about one thing. I won't catch anything from anybody if I stay away from everybody for the rest of my life. If I go into hiding and become a gay hermit like the Pope and all these people, then sure, I won't catch anything from them. And guess what? You won't spread everything to everybody, and you cannot live. You cannot live your life. You can do that. You can do that, but you'll be ineffective for the Lord completely. I know people right now that do that. They're like hermits. The Amish are like that. They're no good to anybody. They don't evangelize the world. Neither do most of those Mennonites. They isolate themselves completely. I don't respect... See, there's a lot of people that respect them. I don't respect them. I think, personally, they're wicked as hell. I think their doctrines are wicked as hell. And I think they're akin to the Pope. They believe in a work salvation. They don't preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not like the Waldensians that went out into the world. They're not like Menno Simons, who went out in the world and preached the gospel and suffered for their faith. They go hide themselves somewhere, and they go and hide themselves and stay away from people. They isolate themselves, separate themselves into such a way that's not a separation from sin. It's a complete separation from society, and they render themselves ineffective. Now, there's people that respect that, but they shouldn't, because it disobeys the Great Commission. It disobeys what God has called us to do. And also, they preach a work salvation mixed with mysticism and everything else. And people join those type of places so they don't have to live a Christian life for the faith in the world. And they don't have to suffer any reproach. See, the Waldensians and other groups like that, what did they do? They suffered for their faith. They did separate themselves, but that was from sin. They went out in the world and they peddled their goods, and they worked and they ministered. And they did live in the world, but they were not of the world. There's a difference. And you have every right to do that if you want to. I'm just telling you that you're ineffective. And they're very proud people. And they live by, they think the standards that they live are what justifies them or keeps them right with God. They don't believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyway, I don't know how I got off on that, but it's the same spirit. It's that sensual spirit. And they also hide a lot of sin in their ranks. That's how they do that. But the point I'm trying to make here is that, you know, back to the Pope and back to, this guy is a complete socialist. He's a complete communist. And he hates, the popes hate the First Amendment. He hates the First Amendment. He hates any of the Bill of Rights and the amendments. Right? And why does he hate it? Well, because the Bible was produced. See, when the Bible, and you go back to Wycliffe and you go back to all these men that worked on Bible translations and everything else, what you find with them is that these people produced a Bible that allowed, it broke the temporal and spiritual power of the Pope. It broke them. What broke the temporal and spiritual power of the Pope was the Bible in the vulgar tongue for every man to read. And that's why the popes did what they did. That's why satanically they would seek out every person that had the Bible and manuscripts and they would burn them. They would destroy them. Why? Because they knew the Bible in the vulgar tongue was the greatest weapon against popery. The greatest weapon against the papacy, communism, socialism, all that, those things, is the Bible. That's why you see these little socialist devils like AOC and people like that. They want to stop Christians. They want to shut the mouth of the Christian. So they'll try to shame us. But see, they can't make me blush when it comes to that. Like, I'm not ashamed of what I preach. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of standing against fascism on either side, whether it's Republican or Democrat. Socialism, communism, feminism, Satanism. I don't believe in the equality of the sexes. I'm against the equality of the sexes. I'm absolutely 1,000% against them. I'm against the New Age teaching. The Baphomet teachings of the modern day. I'm absolutely against the Me Too movement. I'm absolutely against all those things. I'm against BLM, Antifa. I'm against the worship of government, the beast system. And stand unapologetically against that. And stand against the governor and his and the governments of this world that say that they can determine whether the Christians assemble or meet. That it's their prerogative to say how many people can assemble with us, at what time, and in what manner. I'm against the government telling me that I have to wear a mask in an assembly of saints to sing or to attend it. I'm against that. And I don't apologize for that. I have no reason to apologize for that. I'm against the government beast rule and its authoritarianism by the sword to force people to worship or not to worship, to force people to obey their mandates. I'm against them thinking that they have any right to dictate to the churches anything. Right? I stand unapologetically against those things. And for the family. And for what God instituted in his church. For what God said in his word concerning all those things. And we need to stand for those things, and we need to stand uprightly for those things and not apologize for them and be unwavering in our resolve against them. We have to be. See, when people can smell any give in and give up in you, they capitalize on it. And that's what people like to do. They like to capitalize on things like that. They like to see if they can shake your resolve. The world will always ask you to compromise with it. See, that's the thing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like with Amish, with like Mennonites, with like Pentecostals, they never come out fully evil, and they're a bunch of witches. They don't preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't. They preach damnable heresies and everything else, but they don't. Most people, what you have to realize is in this time of Antichrist and this coming kingdom, what you have to realize is they're not going to openly say, I worship the devil, suck the blood out of my arm, let's all share a bloody drink together of our own blood. They're not going to do that. That's not how Satan operates. He operates in deception. That's how he operates. I have people attack me all the time, and they try to act like they're my friend when they do it. And it's so stinking annoying. I get so tired of it. But it is what it is. And they're always going to come in the guise. The Bible says they're going to come as false prophets. They're not going to come to you and say, I'm an atheist or I hate God. Their minister, they're transformed into the ministers of righteousness. They have a power, a satanic power to transform themselves. And that's how they operate. That's how this Pope operates. That's how all of them do. They come in the guise of religion. It's like that Cuomo guy attacking churches and synagogues and everybody, everything else. They always come into the guise that they love God. But they don't, because in works they deny him, being abominable unto every good work, reprobate. It'll be hard for you to understand that. It takes getting burned enough and having people burn you enough. And having them be so close to the truth, yet be absolutely antichrist. Then you'll realize, wow, these people are so close to the truth and so deceptive, but they're really just a bunch of devils. Religious devils, man, they're the worst kind. And that's what the Bible speaks of, the treachery of the end times. Because the Bible says, beware of wolves that come into you in sheep's clothing, because that's what they are. They come in sheep's clothing. It's how they operate. It's how they have to. I've met them. I've had them serving alongside of me for years. I know what they're like. They can never stick by. They can never stick by the stuff very long. See, they end up being revealed as to who they are, because they cannot continue those false people. They cannot continue in what is right. Eventually, they crack. Like Beth Moore, same thing. I told her on her thread, "Man, you are a witch." I told her, because she is. That's exactly what she is. Exactly what she is. That's exactly what she is. And the Pope is no different, and neither is Paula White, neither are these other ones. Right, for there are certain men crept in unawares. I was just thinking of that scripture, Aaron. Unawares, who were before of old of that ordained to that condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So, I've seen it, dealt with it, watched it. It's the way they operate. These people operate the same way. This Pope comes in a white robe, transformed, says he's an apostle of Christ. That's what he says. But he's not. Kenneth Copeland is a Jesuit coadjutor. He invited the Pope. He prayed for the Pope in his church, and now he's drinking his own blood. Somebody needs to send me that video. I need to talk about that on next week sometime. Send me the video, somebody, of him like drinking blood or something in the communion, and the other one about him something about hair growth. I'd like to see both of them. Joe Griffin, just because you're the Antichrist lost devil that doesn't want to answer to God, you should really understand that you have a soul and God's going to require your soul from you. One day you're going to stand before God and the books are going to be open and you're going to be judged out of those books. And when your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know what you're going to be screaming? Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. Oh God, help me. And the Bible says that God will laugh at your calamity. He will laugh at it. Why? Because you received not the love of the truth that you might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned that believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's the truth. That's the truth. And you better embrace the truth before it's too late, because you're going to answer to God one day. Whether you like it or not, you're going to answer to the Lord Jesus Christ one day. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You better be concerned about your soul. You better be concerned with the fact that you're going to stand before a righteous, holy God someday. And God in his mercy sent you here to see this video for you to hear the truth. You have an opportunity to search out the God of the Bible. And if you search for him, you shall find him if you search with him with all your heart. You better look for the God of the Bible before it's too late. This could be the best day of your life. This could be the best time of your life. You came here to mock, and you could be saved by the grace of God and know the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and have him change your rotten, miserable life and make you a saint. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God can change you and make you a new creature. He can change all the darkness, wickedness, vileness, and sinfulness in your heart and make you a child of God, make you new in Christ. And that's what you need more than ever. Because when you look in the mirror and see yourself as close to being a God, you're not a God. You're a fallen creature, guilty before God, dead in trespasses and sins. And I like the fact that God used this as an opportunity for me to preach the gospel to you and to others that'll watch this video, that they can hear the love of the truth, that they might be saved. You have time to repent. I don't know how much time, because I don't know when you're going to die, but you're going to stand before an almighty God, and you've broken God's righteous law, and you are an enemy of God. You are standing as an enemy of God. You are antichrist and speaking against the God of the Bible. And God has the power to take your life. Your soul one day shall be required of you. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. You have a sin problem. The problem is you think you're a God. The problem is you think you answer only to you, but you don't. You answer to the God of the Bible. For it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. There's a place that you will spend an eternity in. Either it will be heaven or it will be hell. And you deserve, like every other man, all of us, you deserve to go to hell. You deserve to die and burn in a devil's hell for all of eternity because you've sinned against a righteous God. But God sent forth his Son to die on the cross for your sins. And the Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ came and was born of a virgin, the Holy Ghost overshadowing her womb. And that holy child, Jesus, was born. And Jesus' name means he will save his people from their sins. And you need saved from your sin. You need saved from your fallen condition, your broken image. You need saved from it. And the only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. The very one that you say you don't believe in is the very one that is able to save your soul. So if I was you, I would look into the scriptures. I would look very strongly into the Bible. I would read it and ask God to reveal himself to you. I would read it. I would examine it. And I would ask God to reveal Jesus Christ to your soul, to reveal your guilt and your fallen condition before God and reveal the Savior unto you. And he will. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. God doesn't believe in atheists. They're all fools. He says they're fools. He calls them fools. And I call them fools because God calls them fools. But you don't have to be a fool. You can be a saint. You can be changed supernaturally by the Spirit of God. You can be made a new creature in Christ today. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Think. Think very plainly, very clearly. Your soul is at stake. And not only yours, but the souls of your family, your friends, and your loved ones. I would say most atheists that call themselves atheists, they don't have the courage to look into the scriptures. They're afraid to look into them. Why? Because the scriptures prove God to be true. And there isn't anything in this world that's proven the scriptures false. Nothing. So I would encourage you to look and live like the Lord said, for why will you die in your sins? You don't have to. You deserve to, but you don't have to. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Anyway, think very strongly on it. All right, well, listen, I'm going to get out of here. I think I'm going to go home, get ready for hunting, and sit in a blind all day and wait for Bambi or Bambi's mom or maybe Bambi's dad to come along so I can shoot it and I can skin another deer. I want to skin another one. Anyway, so you guys take care of yourselves and pray for us. Pray for one another. And Lord willing, we'll be back together soon online. And able to talk again, and I look forward to it. So anyway, God bless you all. Take care of yourselves, and pray for us to get a deer. Pray for me to get a deer, and I'll get one if you just pray hard enough. I won't blame you. But anyway, if all of you take the time to pray for me, then as soon as I get out there and I shoot one, I'll just do a live video and show you and say, God answered your prayers. Wouldn't that be great? That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be awesome if that guy got saved that was railing on Christ? That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Anyway, God bless you all. Take care. We'll talk real soon, I'm sure. Lord willing, anyway. But you keep praying and you keep trusting the Lord and keep following Christ. All right. God bless you all. Take care.